In brightest day,
in blackest night.
The best there is of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of the women.
All right, and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We are broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU FM McMaster Radio and podcasting on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And I am Marty Berthelmer, a.k.a. Shecky Feldstein, producer of such shows as this one, which is a fabulous show.
And as always, we are here to tell you the myriad of stories about things that happen throughout the comic book universe. And joined, of course, by our engineer, Andrew Roebuck, to my right as well. Wondering what the heck he's doing here, I'm sure.
Oh, as always, willing to fix all the mistakes.
Shecky, it's great. Hey-o. It's great to be back. You know what? Finally, we've had a bit of a hiatus over the summer.
Well, it's summer. Everyone's out doing stuff,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm out there, you know, paragliding or sailing,
yeah,
windsurfing,
like that, yeah.
doing extreme sports.
And I was out saving sick children from things like diseases and things like that.
I thought you were just reading comics in your basement.
I told you not to tell people that.
Okay.
Why you got to give up my secrets?
Only Andrew's listening. Don't worry.
And people that can't change the station.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Listen, we are here to talk about comic books, of course, as usual. And let's might as well get right to it. We're going to talk about New This Week. And New This Week does have a sponsor, of course.
Absolutely. As always, Shecky's bringing you the finest. And New This Week is brought to you by Montreal Comic Con, where Christopher Lloyd may have said, "Great Scott," more times than how many DC comics still have New 52 on their covers.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Very
you know,
good point.
I'm not a strong advocate. I'm against it. I'm against the New 52 for 50 more years.
Well,
you know,
you know what? We will get more into the New 52 in a few minutes. But right now, we have to talk about Daredevil. Daredevil by Marvel Comics. And this is, of course, by Mark Waid. And Sam Knee is the artist. It's just a great – sorry, his name is Chris Sam Knee to be full. So Mark Waid, Chris Sam Knee are the storytellers. And, you know, I can't say enough great things about Daredevil and Mark Waid's run on Daredevil right now. It's phenomenal. It has a really great I don't know how to describe it, but it has a great comic book feel to it. You know, it's got a great storyline. It's not too deep. It's just a fun story. Yet it's a really well written story. It's a well drawn story. It's a great overall comic book story. And you know, it's got characters like Silver Surfer was in it recently, and you know, it's awesome.
So you're saying for what it is to pick up that one book, or evaluate it for what it is as one book, it's very entertaining and appealing.
Absolutely. If you know what, the problem is that a lot of comic books take themselves too seriously these days, and I think that this is a book that really kind of takes it back a notch and says, you know what, these are just comics. Let's have fun with the storytelling. Let's have fun with the characters. Let's not try to get too deep. Let's not try to, you know, all of a sudden change the world with our perspectives here. And it's just a great book.
Chris, changing the world one day at a time. I'm sure comic books will one day rule the earth.
One day at a time. Remember, mm-hmm. that was a really crappy TV series in the early 80s and late 70s. Do you remember that at all?
It was really crappy? Was it really crappy?
It was.
Well,
really
I've never heard of it, so obviously you used to watch it.
Well, I did. You know, it's as a little kid, yeah.
Okay, anyway, Daredevil, amongst others, New This Week on your comic book shelves.
There you go. All right. Also by Marvel this week, I have Morbius, the Living Vampire. And, you know, I got to say that you know, stark contrast to Daredevil, this is a book that takes itself way too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's trying to go for some sort of, you know, horror slash, I don't even know what to call it. It's like a brooding teen angst kind of vampire thing, and there's, I don't know, I just don't get it.
Oh, it's, now you're preaching to me, Chris.
I just don't
get it. Right up my alley.
It's, I don't understand the, I don't understand it. It's all kind of in this black and white, eerie kind of thing, but it doesn't quite cut it for me.
Neither do audiences, because it's the last one. I'm pretty sure either this month or next month
well, there you
is
go.
The last month for Morbius.
Yeah.
They're putting the stake in it.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised. It's it tried to be too many different things. It tried to be Twilight as well as a fun comic book, and it couldn't. It didn't do very well at either of them.
I think Young Buck was one of the devoted followers who actually wrote in fan mail, and they said, hey, kid, stop. We're done in a month.
We're done already. We're done as right. it is. Don't worry about it. All right, so that was Morbius the Living Vampire, of course, available
at your local comic book store today.
There you go, perfect. Next up, now here's a book that's actually very good. It's on issue 3. This is Batman 66. Now, this is, for those of you who aren't aware.
Wait, is it issue 3 or 66?
Hey, great question. It's issue 3 because the series is called Batman 66.
Ooh, is Adam West in it?
Kind of. It's actually a new comic book with stories based on the classic Batman TV show from 1966 starring Adam West and Burt Ward.
Great.
So this is, you know, even the characters kind of look a little bit like Adam West, and, you know, if the Joker is in it, kind of looks like Cesar Romero, you know, so it's based on sort of that fun, campy kind of Batman stories that existed back in the 60s, you know, with characters like Egghead played by Vincent Price and that kind of thing. It's, you know what, great looking book. You know, the characters are awesome. The storytelling is awesome. I can't say enough about this, actually.
Wasn't Bruce Lee in the TV show?
Bruce...
As Kato when they did the Green Hornet crossover.
Yes, because Bruce Lee was Kato in Green Hornet, but there was Batman and Green Hornet were both produced by the same company at the time, so they were able to have sort of a bit of a crossover. Because do you remember that it happened when I don't know if you remember when the Batman and Robin used to climb up the buildings, and then every once in a while, a celebrity would pop out, like Sammy Davis Jr. or something like that would pop out, and
one of the windows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, of course, you know, Kato and Green Hornet did the same kind of thing, and hilarity ensued.
Right. Yes. Absolutely.
So, honestly, if you get a chance, if you're a fan of Batman at all, and if you're a fan of a more lighthearted Batman. That's, you know, that's the best way of saying it, because Batman has all too often taken itself way too seriously in the last 10 years, becoming very dark and brooding, and it's certainly not the same kind of Batman that existed 30 years ago or 40 years ago. 50 years ago almost now with Batman 66. So, you know what, if you're in the mood for a more lighthearted Batman, I highly recommend this one's by Jeff Parker and Joe Quinones. And a great story, for sure.
And you know what, Chris? Batman 66, Mario Lemieux, favorite hockey player, number 66.
You've already sold me.
You just told me the title, and you already sold me.
It was done.
Well, you can find this at your local comic book shop today.
All right. And also by DC, we haven't had a chance to talk about them, but we have the Villains Month. And Clayface number 1, which is taking place over the Batman the Dark Knight comic book. So we've got Clayface number 1, great looking book. I Clayface is a really interesting character. He's been a number of different interpretations over the years, but I really like the current interpretation where he looks like basically a big monster made out of clay kind of thing.
You don't say.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, well, because before he used to be sort of like this master of disguise kind of character, right? So, and he was like he was an actor and he was a stage theater hand and that kind of thing. So, but they've kind of just really gone back to this whole idea that he's just basically this giant brooding monster, which I think is great. But Clayface number 1 is looking like an awesome book here. The art is great, and the art is by Cliff Richards, and it's written by John Layman, who's been around for quite a while as well. So I highly recommend this. This is by DC.
Mm-hmm. And you brought up a good point that I actually noticed looking at the comic book shelves this morning, is that there's all these villains, and it's all number ones of all these villains from DC.
Right. So we'll get into this a little bit later, possibly. You know, if we have
time.
Or
I'll forget about it.
Or if we have time. Well, we'll see.
I'll forget about it in 5 minutes.
But, you know, basically, every DC cover this month is sort of replaced by a villain. And so if it's the Flash, it might be replaced by Captain Cold or Reverse Flash. Or if it's Wonder Woman, it's replaced by Cheetah, that kind of thing. So, it's a great concept. Mm-hmm. And to go along with that concept, every cover had sort of this – there's a variant cover that had sort of this lenticular 3D cover as well as the regular cover that came out as well. So if you're lucky enough, you can get one of the 3D ones. They're really cool looking. I kind of wish I had gotten some of them, but I didn't get a chance. Unfortunately,
yeah,
I don't
get lucky too often either, Chris.
I heard that about you.
Yeah.
All right. So that is, of course, Clayface number one by DC at your local comic book shops today.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we have Doctor Who number 13 by IDW. And this is, you know what? If you're a fan of Doctor Who, this is a great comic that kind of goes along with the Doctor Who series. Now, nothing's ever going to replace the current incarnations of Doctor Who and the fans that love Doctor Who. Nothing's going to replace the TV show. However, if you just can't get enough Who in your life, this is a great way to kind of supplement a little bit more Who. And the current one has Doctor Who going to an old West kind of town, but of course there's some weirdness to it. And this one's written by Tony Lee with art by Mike Collins. And I gotta say, it's a great looking book again. Of course, it's kind of got some supernatural kind of stuff to it with some, you know, electricity. And, of course, he's got his,
companion?
No, I was going to say, what's the...
Oh, the sonic screwdriver?
Sonic screwdriver. I was going to say sonic wand. Sonic screwdriver. It looks like a great book. And, of course, it continues off in issue 14 as well. But you know what? I highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. And you can find that, amongst others, local comic book shops shelves today.
Exactly. All right. Well, listen.
And, well.
Oh, sorry. You have something else to talk about.
You always try and cut Shecky off.
I do my best.
Shecky never got a dinner.
I do my best.
So, Shecky's pick of the week, for no reason other than pure antics, we're looking at Six Gun Gorilla, number 4 of 6.
Did you say Six Gun Gorilla?
Mm-hmm. You're right. It doesn't make sense because usually I think six shooter, you know, like six shots in the gun.
Yeah.
Apparently, gorillas can hold six guns at the same time.
I was not aware of that.
That's very dangerous.
It's very impressive.
Very dangerous creatures.
Clearly, not only can they crush a man's skull, but they can carry six guns at the same time.
Do lots of things. They can eat bananas, too.
Well, they can do that, too, yeah.
So this is by Simon Spurrier and Jeff Stokely.
Now,
I believe I said their names correctly.
Now, did you get a chance to even look through the book here?
Well, you see, one of the things that caught my fancy was the covers actually by Ramon Perez. Toronto boy Ramon Perez doing this thing.
Nice.
And it looks really cool because it actually looks like, you know what, I don't want to go out and say, you know, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Because like Pacific Rim, I don't know for moviegoers out there.
Yeah.
They said it was Godzilla, it was Transformers, it was all these.
A little bit of everything, yeah.
Yeah, right? It kind of seems like that to me though, right? Because you've got a little bit of like a Western thing, but you've got like an animalistic sort of theme.
Right.
You've got some sort of like rhino character that's probably from like a distant world even. He's riding. So anyway, it seems really cool, right? Like one of those movies, like, you know, all those John Carters and all, you know.
Yeah, right?
And so I don't actually know what the book's about, Chris. Because I don't know if you know me well enough yet, but...
Well, I know you can't read that very well.
But it's similar to the Judge Dredd sort of line.
Okay,
and it's very,
yeah.
like, campy humor like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And you've got some weenie sort of character who adds in that comic humor.
With a title like Six Gun Gorilla, how could it not be a little bit campy? Like, really?
Right,
like, you can't take yourself too seriously when you have a comic called Six Gun Gorilla.
Yeah, and you can't expect others to take it too seriously either.
No, very true.
That's why I am speaking as I am. But anyway, it seems really fun, and you know, the art is actually, it's almost like those Sunday cartoon, like, funnies.
Yeah.
Not in the fact that it's simple and not done very well.
But just in that fun
But the
sort of
facial
feel.
Expressions, you know,
right.
like, the campy humor is done very well in that line, you know, where every page could almost be taken as its own sort of funny.
Right.
But other than that, you know, it's very Westernish, and it's future, it's Judge Dreddish. So for that aggressive style, I do want to appreciate Six Gun Gorilla. That amongst thousands and thousands of other new comic books on your local comic book shelves today.
Thousands. All right, listen. Well, yes, there's certainly way more comics out there if you want to take a look at. Please go and support your local comic book retailer. But as of right now, you have to listen to a little bit of the old Magneto and Titanium Man.
Thank you.
night.
I need an entertaining man.
We were talking about you, babe. They said
you was involved in a robbery that was due to happen at a quarter to three in a main street.
I didn't believe. When the Crimson Dynamo finally assured me, well, I knew
you was involved in a robbery that was due to happen at a quarter to three in the main street.
So we went out.
I need an entertaining man.
And the Crimson Dynamo came along for the ride.
We went to town with the library and we swung.
Yeah, Magneto Says.
Magneto Says and Titanium Man. That is, of course, by Wings, of Paul McCartney fame.
Fame.
Yeah. Yes.
I guess he was kind of famous.
Well, kind of, yeah. He actually came up with a new song recently. Apparently it's really big, if you like that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, do I?
No.
Okay.
All right. Listen. We got to keep on going here.
Keep on trucking.
Apparently we have mailbag, right?
We do have mailbag.
Okay.
The letters seem to just stack up when
know,
we take a
know,
week hiatus,
I know.
You know?
So what do we got? Who's writing to us this week?
Well, for Mailbag, we have a sponsor.
Oh, nice.
First of all, before we get to it, Mailbag brought to you by Halloween, an excuse to wear tights and still say you're a tough guy.
Hey, excellent. All
you
right.
Know, it's very exhilarating wearing the tights. I'm just letting you know, Chris.
It's a good point because, you know what, not a lot of tough guys wear tights unless they're superheroes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so comfortable with my manlyhood, I wear tights even when it's not Halloween.
Well, that's not very interesting for me to know that. But, you know, hey, I appreciate the fact that you're letting the audience know this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not letting them know where they can find me. See,
that is
I'm staying safe.
All
just
right.
Be thankful you can't see it like we can.
Yes. Quit wearing it to the show.
Guys, you know, old habits die hard.
Yeah,
so.
I understand. All right.
All right.
So, mailbag.
All right. This is coming to you from Justin in Burlington.
Okay.
Hey, guys. I'm a big DC reader. But what's the deal with some of these 3D covers? I don't understand why some comic book shops are actually charging me $10 just to buy it off the shelves when it clearly doesn't have that sticker price.
You know what? That's a great question. So just to fill in our listenership here. So with this Villains Month that's going on with DC Comics right now, they're having a there's two covers. There's what they call the variant cover, which is sort of a lenticular 3D cover, and then there's the regular cover. So if you're lucky enough, you could go in into your local comic book shop and buy either one. Now, some shops are selling the 3D one at a exaggerated price.
Right, and this was like, I'm sorry, because we didn't have the show last week and we didn't touch on it before, but this is like a couple weeks in to actually doing this 3D cover bit.
Right.
And, you know, from a sales point of view, there is enough hype behind it that these covered books, the 3D covers, are I guess, demanding an increase in price point immediately upon flipping on eBay.
Right. So, well, yeah. So here's the thing. So people are buying them up because they do look awesome. I have to agree. They look fantastic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
However, retailers should not be charging the extra amounts because they could have ordered as many as they wanted because they were returnable, right? So they could have ordered the whole DC cover thing. As far as I know, I could be a little bit wrong.
Chris, let me give you some insight here.
Okay.
I know you have the right idea in mind. So what actually happened was this. Okay, this is for you, I guess, who want to understand a little bit of the business side of it. What happened was the 3D printing process takes longer than how far out they had to submit orders. So in other words, people submitted their orders, and by the time they got them, the printing process had to have been started already weeks in advance of that because of the intricate processing, I guess, in the printing process.
Right.
So in other words, you know, they decided, hey, let's make 500,000 of each of these books. Let's just say, for instance, okay? And then the numbers actually come in for the requests on the ordering from these stores, and it's, you know, 1.2 million for whatever reason.
Right.
All of a sudden, they've only got 500,000 being made. They can't possibly meet the demand. So now it's allocated to the stores, and now they're emailing the stores saying, stores, this is how many you're actually getting.
But I thought, I could be wrong on this. I thought that they had a chance to order them, but it was the extra orders afterwards.
Right. So what happened was because of this and because they knew everyone wanted them, what they said is as a little bit of a side perk to go along with this, you can order any amount of non-3D covers.
Okay.
To go with these 3D covers, because everyone knows they're 3D covers.
Right.
So maybe people are buying them on the impulse of, they're 3D covers, oh my God.
Right.
And they won't
actually
want them in their bin when it comes day if they don't have a 3D cover. So any amount you buy that are not 3D are fully refundable and returnable.
Right. Okay.
So we're only allowed to give you 30. We know you have 50 members who want the book.
Yeah.
You know, if 10 of them that didn't get it decide they only wanted it if it was 3D because it was
you
really cool.
It. Yeah, go ahead.
You can return them.
No problems. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but still, this doesn't really, in my opinion, I don't think this allows for retailers to be selling the original book at an inflated
mm-hmm.
price.
Right, because what they're doing now is they're taking advantage of the system that is in place. So they have 50 members, and they all say,
yep.
Oh, we would love the book. You know, obviously we want it 3D. There is a dollar difference, I think, in the price
yep.
on the cover
yep.
for the whatever, right? They're probably selling 10 to their members, like their devoted membership.
Right.
Keeping 50 off the, or 40 off the shelves, sorry, saying they're sold out. They order extra of the non-3D ones because they're allowed full refund policy.
Yep.
Saying, oh, sorry, we're sold out. Sell them to the members and then flip the 3D books immediately on eBay or other sources online
yeah.
for $10, $12, $15 a book.
Yeah, I think that's horrible.
Absolutely
I
terrible.
I don't like it at all. I think all yep. the regular
right.
3D ones should have been sold in adjacent to the regular ones. And if the members wanted to get the regular 3D ones or the regular ones, they could get
absolutely.
Them.
And I'm sure there's comic book stores that are getting away with this that their members just don't know otherwise. They say,
yep.
oh, man,
yep.
they only got 10 and I just wasn't lucky enough to get one
right.
you know, sort of thing. And they're okay with it. But really, you're doing your members more of a service. You're doing your business a service when you really try and dig and provide this to everyone and you
yeah.
give them all a fair crack. And I know good comic book stores are probably pulling one of the non-3D covers for every member that they have and then saying, you know what, because we're on short supply,
yep.
if you are one of the first people to get here since New Comic Book Day, everyone, free market, limit one 3D cover per person.
Yep.
And if you happen to be there, you get a 3D one. If not, you're still going to get the same non-3D one
yeah.
if you just still want it.
You know what? You know what? I got to say, in general, I'm actually not a fan of these 3D covers. Although I like them a lot. I think they look really cool.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for me, it harkens back to
the 90s. With the foil.
With all these foil,
oh, everything
die-cut
was foil.
Covers and you know heat impression covers and all this kind of stuff. You know what? Just make them all 3D.
Well, why didn't they polybag them too?
Yeah, polybag them. Put some sort of stupid trading card in there as well. And, you know.
Bubblegum.
Yeah,
you know, you can have 80 year old bubblegum in 80 years.
Yeah, and you never get a chance to open them.
Yeah.
Never got a dinner. All right. Let's you know what? Enough about that stuff.
Yeah, thank you to Justin for stirring up a frenzy in here. This radio station that isn't really a radio station, it's getting hot.
Getting hot. You know what wasn't you know what's also hot is comic conventions.
Woo!
Comic conventions are hot these days, and I know you and my usual co-host, Walter Duralia, went to
Chris, I thought I told you we weren't gonna talk about Walt.
You know, Walt is still a part of this show.
Always got to bring up
you know
Walt.
What?
I'm trying to take over seamlessly.
I know you
and
are.
And you keep bringing him
up. I can see that. However, Walt and I started the show, and by gum, Walt and I will finish it.
Yeah, okay.
You know what?
Yeah.
Like it or not. So, unfortunately, Walt, he's still having issues.
He is. He's getting a lot better.
He's getting better. However, you and Walt went to Montreal this
last
weekend.
We did. It was just a two-man army.
Two-man show. And how was the show?
It was fantastic. You know what? It was a three-day con in Montreal, Friday to the Sunday. You know what? They had spectacular guests lined up. They had a lot of buzz everywhere in the room.
A lot of Buzz Lightyear?
No.
Buzz Cola.
No.
Oh. Well,
it was real life. It was live motion. Oh. It wasn't animated.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. Okay.
Anyway, no matter what pocket of the hall you went to, it was full.
Nice.
Everything was absolutely packed with tables, with either it was the media, it was marketing and commercialism of all the big corporations, like the, you know, you had PS4 booths,
okay,
and
so,
stuff.
Yeah.
You had vendors, you had toy stores.
Now, I got to ask you, so it seems like these days there's sort of a resurgence of, or an insurgence of comic book conventions and of conventions in general. It seems
you know what? They're sprouting up everywhere.
They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Now, is this a 3-day show? Is this Montreal show good enough for 3 days?
It is.
Did it have enough guests? Did it have enough comic book dealers? Did it have enough pop culture people? Did it have enough, you know, of everything?
I will say it did. It was very well balanced. I know personally from having done the show last year.
Yep.
It lost one or two old timey comic book dealers, though. I would say it's a little light in the vintage comic books department. But the pop culture was strong. There were lots of toys and plushes,
right,
and
okay,
vinyl pops,
okay,
and stuff like,
yep,
that.
Yep.
The media frenzy, like the whole commercialism, you know, PS4 had a massive booth conglomerate,
cool,
there.
Cool.
You saw the video games that you wanted to see and everything.
Now last year, was it not last year? Now I'm getting old, so I could be completely wrong on this.
Oh, we all are, Chris.
Was it not last year when Stan Lee was at the show, or was that 2 years ago?
I think that was two, maybe 3 years ago.
Oh boy, I'm getting old. Okay,
that was the initial spark of interest to the Montreal Comic Con.
Right, so clearly
that put them on the map.
Now Stan Lee was not there this year, right?
No.
Okay,
no.
So who were the big guests this
year? Well, Chris, since you asked, we had the likes of Christopher Lloyd from all the Back to the Future, plus many things since then.
Taxi.
Yeah, hey, you know, there you go. Look, yeah, some heritage in
there. Okay, well,
all.
Hold on. Now, here's a quick question for you. What's the name of the character that Christopher Lloyd played in Taxi?
Doc Brown?
Reverend Jim. Reverend Jim.
Well, you're older than me.
I am.
Okay.
That's true. I'm an old man. All right.
Anyway.
Keep going.
We had Christopher Lloyd. We had Sean Astin from all the Lord of the Rings. Rudy. You know,
Goonies.
Childhood classic.
Oh, yeah. You know, I always forget that he was in the Goonies.
Yeah. He's great. Mikey.
Mikey. Right.
Mikey.
And
then we had Lou Ferrigno. We had George Takei, who is very social media savvy these days.
Nice.
His Twitter and everything.
He's on all the
blows
time.
Blows up.
Yeah.
Absolutely blows up.
Yeah.
I believe it's Takei.
Takei, you know what? just keep engineering over there, why don't you? All right.
All right.
Now, what about comic book guests? Was there any big comic book stars? Like, was obviously Stan Lee wasn't there.
You
but...
know what? I do believe there were. Comic book wise,
yeah.
Jason Mewes, you know, who
Jay
and Silent Bob,
Bob,
right?
Yeah.
Kevin Smith actually canceled apparently one of the days before.
Oh, okay.
Everyone got a refund, but for whatever reason he canceled. He's kind of comic book ish.
Okay.
Those are the comic book celebrity world.
Now, what about
but,
I heard that Mike Grell was there.
Yes, yes, he
That's
was.
That's a big name.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think I heard something about George Perez, but I don't know if he was there or canceled as well.
Okay. You know what? I've got a story about George Perez in a minute. So if he did cancel, I know why.
Is it like you ran into him in the bathroom?
No. It's an unfortunate story, but we'll talk about it in a minute.
Okay. Well, either way, I actually have, to the people out there, I have no idea what your story is, but, you know, no punches reserved. I think he canceled on the show legitimately for whatever reason.
Yeah.
There were a lot of artists signing, drawing, and doing stuff, but
nice.
I feel like, again, like all conventions are, there was a lot of pull for the TV celebrity.
There
was the guy from Game of Thrones there and everything.
Oh, really?
All
That's
the girl,
cool.
All the young 20-something, teen-something girls, they're all
Do you know who was there from Game of Thrones? Or was it like, you know, Lackey Surf
but
who,
you know who
number
he was?
Two?
You want to know who he was to me,
who?
Chris?
Who?
Don't have a clue, but he came to the booth and said, hey, bud, you got any Goon comics? No, your handler came over 20 minutes ago, and I said I didn't have any either to him. Sorry. I mean, go check the modern guy over across the aisle. Okay, thanks, bud.
Well,
that was it.
At least he called you bud. He didn't call you, like, you know, jerk or something like that, right?
No, but, I think he was, like, coughing all over the place. He was just, you know, it was his casual walkabout, right? He had 10 minutes to kill, you know.
It happens.
Probably went out
it
for
happens.
A smoke or
yeah.
something, and then, you know, he was much taller than me and much more handsome.
You know? No. No one's possibly more handsome than you.
See, I go fishing for comments. Chris, yeah, you'll always come through.
Yeah, I'm here for you, pal.
Yeah.
All right, listen. Speaking of conventions.
Yeah.
We really have to mention the Hammertown Comic Convention
which is coming up.
Yes.
It's very soon. It's put together by the same organization from the Niagara Falls Comic Con.
Yes.
Who have absolutely exploded in their growth potential over the last 3 years that they've... Surprisingly, if you were to go to the NairoCon that just went by,
yep.
That's only its third year.
Yeah, it's crazy,
exponentially exploding in its gate,
yep.
As well as the celebrities, the vendors, the size of the halls. So Hammer Comic Con may start out again. You know, it's the one shot right now.
Yep.
But it's the first of many... hopefully every year, annually there is one, and hopefully it sees the same sort of growth. So this is the first one. You can get in ground level, you know, sort of as they say, before everyone's charging, you know, thousands of dollars.
Already for the Hammertown Comic Con, the dealer section has already sold out.
I think it was sold out at the Niagara Comic Con,
which wouldn't surprise me because it's only a 1 day show and there's a good number of tables, but it's not enormous.
Right.
And I think, you know what? I think that already they're already planning on, you know, how they're going to expand for next year because they're already almost outdoing themselves for this 1 day show.
They are, Chris. And you know what? I'm lucky enough to have the privilege of knowing the two promoters.
Right.
As well as Walt.
Right.
They were in Montreal. They came looking to make some more contacts, planning the second HammerCon.
Nice.
You know, they are not chained down by mediocrity by any means. They are only looking at expanding and making everything grow year to year. So the HammerCon, maybe Hammer will finally get a dinner.
Let's hope so. You know what? Yeah. It's been a long time since Hamilton has had a good convention. Mm-hmm. And wow, you know what? Why not? Because it's a great, great city and lots of great artists and talent and people around in the city. So why not have more great Hamilton stuff going on?
Absolutely.
All right, let's have a quick musical interlude here. We're going to go with Saturday Night on Saturn by Les Baxter.
Look at that.
Do you like that?
I love all the instruments in every song that you ever play. You know, it's always a fun little ditty.
You know, I kind of felt like I was, like, I don't know, on a Star Trek episode, the original 60s one.
With a little bit of anticipation, anxiety, something growing on.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Listen, so we're going to continue on with industry news. And do we have any sponsors for industry news?
Absolutely. As always, Shecky provides.
Nice.
Industry news brought to you by HammerCon, where the steelworkers can cut loose and stock up on comics for when they're working the trucks.
Oh, nice. Well, that does happen sometimes.
Well, you know, you pull a lever once every 20 minutes. You got to have something to read, Chris. You know,
absolutely. You know what? Hammertown Comic-Con is there's a link on Facebook as well. So if you want to get all the updates, you can join the Hammertown Comic-Con link and like it on Facebook and get all the updates as
absolutely.
To who's coming. And
between that and Hamilton's own Big B Comics, they're actually the forefront store location to sell tickets.
Yes.
I believe they've been selling through so many tickets that HammerCon actually looks like it will probably outdo NiagaraCon on its first year.
I like it. Mm-hmm. All right. Listen, we have to keep on going here with industry
news.
Keep on trucking. Now, we mentioned George Perez earlier, and you said that he may have canceled.
We did.
Well, here's the deal. Unfortunately, George Perez, he is tech savvy. He's part of Facebook, and he's updating his fans and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. For those of you who are fans of George Perez, now George Perez has been around for a long time. He's a longtime artist on Teen Titans. He's done JLA. He's done Avengers. He's done pretty much every major character you can think of. He's mm-hmm. often known for his giant team books because he likes drawing absolutely everybody. Of course, he did Crisis on Infinite Earths many years ago. Well, George Perez, unfortunately, is having some eye problems.
Oh, no.
So he's having some vision problems. I'll just read you verbatim what he has said on his Facebook site here. For those of you who have followed my posts for a good while, the fact that I've been dealing with vision problems will not be too much of a surprise. However, I need to report that my eye troubles have taken a bit of a downturn as my left eye has experiencing some hemorrhaging, pretty much blinding me in that eye. And this has necessitated me wearing an eye patch in order to see a bit more clearly through my right eye.
Oh, no.
You know, I really hope George Perez gets a little bit better. He's a great guy. You know, we were in Toronto the other day. He celebrated a birthday while we were in either Niagara Falls or Toronto or something like that. He celebrated a birthday recently.
Yeah.
Great guy. I've met him a couple times. You know, when I've seen him in the Pittsburgh Convention Comics or Pittsburgh Comic Con, he's usually doing sketches, and all the money that he does for the sketches that he gets for the sketches, he donates to charity.
Really?
You know, he's a great guy. And
I don't think many artists do that.
No, and you know, I don't know if it's just for that particular show or if he does that for every show, but he's a great guy, and I hope he does. I hope he gets better.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully, yeah. A speedy recovery. I mean, he's a big name artist, and yeah. I can only see an eye patch probably hindering his art. Really?
Well, yeah, I don't. Yeah, you know, that's a great point. I really don't know.
I'm wondering if because he's probably been told by the doctor, you know, yeah. like this is your situation, this is your percentage of you know outcome for column A. This
yeah,
is if we
yeah.
operate column B.
Yeah,
you know, I wonder what sort of likelihood yeah. we have for you know. Hopefully, he returns to health, and
I hope so.
Wish him all the best.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. Well, let's. I don't want to dwell too much on the bad news here. Let's keep on going here, and we'll talk about Simpsons Lego TV show is coming. Now, you're a fan of the Simpsons.
Love
right?
the Simpsons.
You're a fan of Lego. I know you are. I know you have some Lord of the Rings Lego at your
Play
house.
Play with them every day, Chris.
Yeah, that's. I knew that. So. Simpsons is coming out, finally, with Lego toys, of course. So this is from the Nerdly website. So according to Nerdly, the Simpsons Lego toys are coming out, will be coming to the United Kingdom anyways. I don't know when they're coming to North America, but they're coming to the United Kingdom. However, there's also going to be a Simpsons Lego TV show. Now, I don't know if this is going
to
be...
TV show.
So you're going to have the Simpsons... as Lego characters.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if...
Isn't the cartoon show still running?
Yes.
But isn't Lego just a way of taking live action and making it cartoon?
Yes.
So now there's two cartoons.
Yes.
Chris, what's going on here?
Well, one is obviously Lego, and it will probably be a 3D, which Simpsons is not. It's traditional 2D animation.
Mm-hmm.
Computer-generated, but still 2D. So I don't quite get this. I haven't heard enough about it as to whether or not it's is it going to be the same voices? Is it going to be the same writers? There's not enough information yet that has been given out. However, there's going to be Lego toys and a Lego Simpsons Lego TV show.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
You know, if this hits, Chris, like in a year or two,
yeah.
This just paves the groundwork for all other, say, animated cartoons, like Family Guy Lego version.
Family Guy Lego and...
Futurama, you know, American Dad, like everything. Everything that is cartoonized already will have an alternative.
And you know what? It's really kind of starting that way anyways because we have, you know, the DC Lego... stuff.
The
Batman Lego video games and Marvel Lego.
Yeah, all the Indiana Jones
too, yeah. And Star Wars and you name it. Everything that's kind of becoming popular has become Lego-ified. Now, we don't have Doctor Who Lego yet. We don't have, Hello Kitty Lego or who knows what it happens to be. Like, there's not everything has been Legoed yet, but it looks like if there's a demand for it, then who knows what could happen.
Yeah. Hey, you never
know. Maybe we'll get like Dexter Lego and Game of Thrones Lego and, you know.
And just take serious things and then make a mockery of it.
Completely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Why not, Chris?
Why not?
Why not?
Speaking of shows, Walking Dead. You're a fan of The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I watch it very regularly.
So The Walking Dead is now going to have two different shows going on. Now, we're going into season 4 of The Walking Dead, and there's going to be a second TV series starting with the second series, which is going to follow different characters in different locations. Now, I guess if you're aware of the show has different characters all the time, and sometimes they get left behind or whatever. So now they're going to focus in on different characters in different locations.
Chris, I said good riddance to all those people seasons ago.
Well, you know,
and now you're bringing them back?
But you know what? Maybe there are fans out there who didn't say good riddance.
Yeah, well, that's your opinion.
Yeah. Well, this reminds me a lot of a couple different things. One, there's a video game of The Walking Dead, which initially was a downloadable PS3 game. I don't know if it was available for Xbox or not, but I know it was definitely for PS3.
It was available for Xbox and like all the major platforms.
Okay. All right. There you go. So it was downloadable at first, but now you can actually go out and buy it as an actual disc. And this sort of... is the same. The game was sort of the same idea as what the show is doing, where it was took a different. Like everything that's happening in the show is happening in the game, but the game is sort of like a different location, different characters, different everything, all at the same time.
It was more based on the comic book, but yeah, the same general idea. They did do another game, which was more of a shooter that actually was the two brothers from the TV show that they created, and they had a video game of their own that was based on the TV show.
Oh, okay, It sounds like The Walking Dead is just going all over the place. Like, it sounds like it's just gangbusters. I mean, you can buy Walking Dead board games, Walking Dead mugs, Walking Dead.
It's huge. Everything. Like, the licensing on that alone lends itself to almost anything.
Wow. So, and Robert Kirkman here has said on the AMC website, saying, after 10 years of writing the comic book series and being so close to the debut of our fourth, and in my opinion, the best series of the TV series, I couldn't be more thrilled about getting a chance to create a new corner of the Walking Dead universe. The opportunity to make a show that isn't tethered by the events of the comic book is truly a blank page and has my creativity racing. And that's a great point. You know what? Because here's a guy that has these set characters, and obviously there's all kinds of characters that people love. If you were to kill off characters like, say, I don't know, Daryl or somebody like that, mm-hmm. I know that like half the population of people who watch it will probably stop.
So,
right? So all of a sudden now he has a chance to create new characters and do something different with these characters that, you know, nobody knows or cares about yet.
Yeah, like what I find about this is it almost lets him say, okay, this is my previous year's worth of work. You know, years is 10 years, right? They are right now in the TV show, you know, early in comparison to the comic book, the graphic novel, everything. This lets him create something that people don't already kind of have an idea of what's going to happen.
Right.
It's completely different people.
Yep.
If you read the comic books and you're like, you love it, and it's, oh, I love how they redid this, I love how they retold that, or I hate how they did that because it's a little askew.
Yeah.
Well, this is something completely different. It's not on the comic book line.
Doesn't have to follow the comics. Yeah. I mean, not that the show really follows the comics that great anyways.
Right.
But now he can go on a completely different
tangent. You can't piss people off by not following the comics.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, that should be exciting. I'm really looking forward to seeing this. No dates have been set or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it'll come out soon, and we'll get a chance to see what it's all about.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Now, you're a fan of the Marvel movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am a huge fan of the Marvel movies. I love the Avengers and Iron Man and Thor and all these things. Now, I know, Shecky, I'm not saying anything mean or anything like that.
No, I think you're going to say something mean because you preempted it with that.
No. Yeah. I'm just going to say that I know you don't necessarily know who the Guardians of the Galaxy are.
What? Who?
Exactly. So the Guardians of the Galaxy is Marvel characters. And believe me, when Marvel stated that they were going to make a Guardians of the Galaxy show, even people who liked comic books were shocked at the fact that they heard that there was going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Like, this is craziness, right? In this Guardians of the Galaxy movie, there is sort of, I guess you could say, there's two main-ish characters.
Is it Vin Diesel as some tree-like figure?
Yes and no. Okay. The tree-like figure is going to be Groot.
Right.
However, it is still undecided if Vin Diesel is going to be playing.
I thought we talked about that before. I thought he was in.
Well, he, you know what? I think it was just a joke that he was playing on people. We don't know for sure if he's going to be Groot. That was, in fact, he posted a picture on his Facebook page of Groot, but nothing has come of that yet.
Nonsense.
Now, the other character in the Guardians of the Galaxy is actually a raccoon. Yes, I can tell by your silence. Is this a cartoon? No, no. Well, no, it's an actual, well, I mean, live action raccoon, I guess you could say.
Yeah, but I doubt you'll be able to have like just a live raccoon with a bunch of rocket launchers, yeah, but you know.
Yeah, so his name is Rocket Raccoon, and but he's going to be voiced by Bradley Cooper of The Hangover fame, of Limitless, of, you know, you name it.
Silver Linings Playbook last year.
That's the game, the movie I was trying to think of, but I couldn't think of it, so I just said you name it instead.
Why not? An A-list celeb plays something who's voicing something.
You know, an A-list celeb is voicing a Rocket Raccoon character.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Well, you know what? He's going to be joined by Chris Pratt, who's going to be Star-Lord, Zoe Saldana, who's going to be Gamora, and Dave Bautista, who's going to be Drax. And it's still unofficial, the voice of Vin Diesel as Groot. Now, this is just interesting because previous to this, people that have played Rocket Raccoon have been sort of like traditional voice actors. Now, all of a sudden, you get sort of an A-list actor who's playing a voice character that nobody's ever heard of, and it happens to be a raccoon.
Now, in the comics, isn't Rocket Raccoon slightly like Irish? Does he have a little bit of an Irish tint to him?
It depends on the writer. Yeah. It seems like sometimes I've read...
Did the accent come through the words on the page there?
Well, sometimes they do. Sometimes they write it like, oh, yeah. Ho, ho, you know, so you'd be stealing me top pot of gold or something like, you know, something stuff like that. But
it depends how you read it. I don't know. You could put ho, 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 and then, oh, man, it's Santa Claus. I don't think he's Irish. He's
exactly,
Santa.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyways, it depends on the writer at the time. Obviously, the earliest incarnations of Rocket Raccoon didn't really seem to be all that Irish. But, interestingly enough... Bradley Cooper is Rocket Raccoon. Now, next thing I need to talk about here.
Need.
Because this almost broke the internet for a little while there. There was a
Did you throw your laptop across the room again, Chris?
Email storm about DC. Now, DC, this is a bit old news, but for some of our listeners who aren't all that, you know, comic savvy and they don't necessarily go on the web boards and all that kind of stuff like we do, this is going to be new information. So DC decided to hold a contest where they wanted people to send in art pinups or pages of a character, Harley Quinn. Now, if you're a fan of Batman, you'll know who Harley Quinn is. Harley Quinn is sort of like... DC's, or sorry, the Joker's sidekick kind of thing. Or love interest / sidekick. Now, Harley Quinn is a bit of a crazy kind of character, and they asked people to send in art submissions of Harley Quinn naked in a bathtub contemplating suicide.
Mm-hmm. Now, oh yeah,
this was a huge uproar. Right, there's all kinds of people talking about how horrible comic books are, and how could you possibly have this? And at first, I agreed. At first, I thought this was also a horrible thing to do. Why would you possibly want to have this? Having said that, apparently there was more to it. Jimmy Palmiotti, who was sort of a little bit behind all this, came back and said, "You know what? It was meant to be a tongue-in-cheek. It was meant to be jokes. There was meant to be more comedy to it. If you know the character of Harley Quinn, it was meant to be like, you know, toasters hanging over the hot tub, the bathtub, and like, you know, meant to be in a sort of a very fun-hearted, light-hearted sort of way, because Harley Quinn is sort of crazy anyway."
Sounds like backpedaling to me, Chris.
Well, you know what? Maybe it is. You're absolutely right. Maybe it is. I still think that it's a horrible idea. Why not just have Harley Quinn do anything and not necessarily contemplating suicide? I don't think that's a good idea at all. However, I think they probably went back and said, you know what, this is a horrible idea. We have to backpedal on this.
I think what they did was the execs in the room, they started hearing the pitch, and they heard Harley Quinn naked in a tub,
yeah,
and then stopped listening to everything else and just thought, yeah, let's get guys to draw women naked in a tub. That'll be great publicity.
Yeah.
I bet that wouldn't be great publicity because I bet you the females on the internet went crazy about that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like a playoff for sexuality, which kind of isn't really what the character's that much about.
No. As I said, the internet kind of broke at that time because there's so much fury over all this kind of – it was a contest,
and
right?
Yeah. They're just trying to get artists to be slaves to put in all this art that they can use for their own benefit.
Well, it was to see – it was kind of like a – you know, let's find the next new hot artist.
No, you're right. Let's go. Well, you know, I don't want to say too many bad things about DC or what we should or shouldn't do to their buildings, but you know, I don't support that. I'm like you when you first heard it, Chris. Yeah. Right now, me first hearing it, I don't really like it. I think they tried to market the wrong ideas.
Leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
I think the real loser here is the intern that has to go through all the submissions of Naked Harley.
Although, you know what? I would love to see all the submissions. I would love to see the horrible and possibly great art, but man, I'm thinking there's a lot of bad stuff going out there. I would love to see it. All right, you know what? Do we have time? How much time we got left here? Do we have time for another musical interlude here? All right, we do have time for a brief musical interlude here. And you know what? Let's go with I don't know. How about the theme from Star Trek?
It's just full of the sci-fi tonight.
Do you like that one?
And, today.
You know, even our engineer was looking at us over saying, you know, that doesn't sound like a little like the theme to Star Trek. But then, of course, the theme really kicked in and it was ended up being great.
And then I told you to cut it, yeah.
You know, speaking of cutting it.
Cutting it.
You know what does? You know what doesn't cut it?
What's that?
Well, actually, I guess it does cut it for some people. The first appearance of Captain America in Avengers number 4 recently sells for $120,000.
Wow.
So, you're of course familiar with CGC, the Comics Guarantee Company.
Yep.
They grade comics. Of course, there's one that's 9.8, which is almost as high as you can possibly get out of a grade, out of 10. And, so one recently sold for $120,000, the first Silver Age appearance of Captain America.
Wow.
Yeah, craziness. So, you know what? If you do have one, I highly recommend you checking it out, because maybe you have a really good copy and it might be worth a lot of money.
You never know. It's probably worth something anyway, because that
yes.
book in any condition will probably be
yes,
a few coins.
For sure. Mm-hmm. All right, let's skip to – you wanted to talk about – I was mentioned that Michael – I know I'm going to say this wrong. Michael Jai, Michael Yai, Michael Hai, Michael Jai. I'll say Jai. Michael Jai White.
Jai of Turkey.
He's Michael Jai White, who played Spawn in the Spawn movie. He's going to play Bronze Tiger in Arrow Season 2. Now, are you a fan of the Arrow TV show at all?
I haven't started watching it yet, Chris. As a comic book nerd of sorts. I really want to watch it, you know, because I was all into Smallville. I have a certain liking to TV shows that are comic book related.
Well,
I just have not, you know what, I'm too busy with the production that I'm doing and everything. And I don't find the time. I barely find enough time to come here and replace Walter.
I know. You're a busy guy. And I knew you liked Smallville, so that's why I brought up the Arrow thing, and that's where the Arrow character kind of appeared.
Yeah.
Michael Jai White is going to, who also played Black Dynamite in the Black Dynamite TV show and in the Black Dynamite animated series. He'll be playing Bronze Tiger in Arrow.
Very nice. And you want to know why I like him, Chris?
Why's that?
Because Mortal Kombat is another, you know, franchise that I really love.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and really quickly to the point, a couple movies came out. They're kind of commercial flops because they were just overproduced, just CG, whatever nonsense. Yeah. You know, for the kids.
Yeah.
They actually made, I guess it was on YouTube, but it was actually a professional director made like an actual 10 or 12 minute or 8 minute proper teaser, like short film trailer sort of thing to teasing like an actual film or TV series to come out later. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But it was an extended thing. So it was like 8 or 10 minutes. And he was actually playing, like, I guess, you know, Sergeant or Officer Jax or Detective Jax.
Yeah,
and so he was kind of like the lead character in that into the intro. And, you know, his character was very much like Spawn. It was just kind of gritty and everything. And it reminded me of that. And, you know, I love that sort of character, that persona that he brings.
Yeah,
you know.
You know what? It seems like sometimes when these fan films, I call them fan films, it's not really fans. I mean, sometimes they have really high production qualities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But sometimes these fan films are amazing. And you think, why couldn't the whole movie be like that?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know if you ever saw it. There was a, it was almost like a G.I. Joe video. And I can't remember the guy, that his name. But remember do you remember from Snatch, the movie Snatch?
Yeah.
Bullet Tooth Tony?
Yeah, okay.
He played Destro in this G.I. Joe thing. Like, he had all the makeup and all the stuff. It was awesome looking. Like, he looked great. And you think, why couldn't he, you know, why couldn't they make a movie like this?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I don't get it, you know. But anyways, speaking of videos and online type things, Heroes of the North. Now, you're familiar with Indiegogo and
Kickstarter
and
all that stuff. Yep.
Well, there was an Indiegogo campaign a while ago, or sorry, maybe it could have been Kickstarter, but I think it was Indiegogo, and they started up this Heroes of the North TV web TV series, and sometimes on TV.
Yep.
And it was basically a TV show with nothing but Canadian heroes and Canadian villains and that kind of thing. And apparently it's done well enough that it's going to have a second season.
Oh, you love seeing stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
People coming together to support something like that.
Yeah, it's going to have, like, there's characters like the Canadian, and it's all strictly Canadian done heroes and Canadian done villains and that kind of thing, and it looks awesome.
With a character called the Canadian, then you
definitely
wonder.
I think they could probably come up with some better ideas for names.
You can write them your ideas.
Yeah,
and opinions,
maybe not the Canadian.
Yeah. So now, Chris, we're running out of time here. We got a few minutes left, though.
Yep.
I wanted to revisit. It was our first topic of discussion. I wanted to revisit Montreal just for a
minute.
Okay.
Right.
Now this comes a little bit late. I hope, you know, we still have someone listening out there, a very special person. So, Chris, let me tell you my travels very briefly, half minute or less.
Yeah.
Last day of the convention, Sunday.
Yeah.
Individual comes up, you know, and he's eyeing a couple of books, and he talks to me. I wait for Walt to come back because, you know, of course, me, nervous Nelly, uncomfortable selling, you know, doing anything under the watchful eye. You know, Walt might be looking around a corner. It's a sting operation.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so guy comes by, Walt finally comes around, you know, set these two guys up. Hey, this gentleman has interest in these. Two books from Walter. I don't know if you look at comicbookdaily.com's Undervalued Spotlight.
Oh, yeah, every once in a while,
He's looking after two of them.
Yep.
Walt brings up, well, you know, flexible enough. These are kind of big, you know, underground hitters. In my mind, they're in my Undervalued Spotlight.
Right.
Oh, I read that all the time.
Nice.
And I said,
nice.
Hey, and Comic Culture, the radio show. Oh, listen to every episode.
Oh, wow. So, fantastic.
Now, this was in Montreal. His name is Angelo.
Angelo, okay.
He's a school teacher.
Yep.
You know, teaches French, English. I guess he teaches French in French, anyway.
Yep.
So now we have Danny Champion in London. Jolly old England.
Jolly
Danny
old
Champion.
England, yes, I say.
And then we have our French connection, Angelo, in Montreal.
Nice. I like the French connection.
So,
that's good.
Angelo, if you're out there
remember
listening.
We had that I don't – oh, geez, you know, I'm going to be bad here. I don't remember his name. We had a fellow in Florida as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we are just covering –
Cuban connection?
Covering the entire North American
I think so. The entire universe
it's soon
that
enough.
Is comics
nice.
On Earth.
Well, Angelo, we do appreciate you listening to the show. This is fantastic.
Yeah, and it's so great to know that you listen to every show, because hopefully you're listening right now. Because what I'm doing is I'm doing a shout out to you personally. I know you follow Walt's Undervalued Spotlights, and I know you probably have pent up questions and confusion and frustration. Even send us our next week's comic culture mailbag.
There you
Send
go.
Us whatever pent-up question you have, whether it's comic-related, whether it's undervalued spoiler-related, whether it's Chris's personal hygiene-related. Whatever it is, send it in to us, and we will address that next week.
You know who also needs to get some shout-out here is John Bitterman.
Ooh, John Bitterman.
John Bitterman, he needs to, you know what, he sent me an email the other day, and he keeps on saying how we need to talk more about him on the show.
John,
yeah. Yeah, send us an email, all right? And then maybe we'll get you on the air.
Yeah, maybe we'll just throw in the trash.
That's about right. Yeah. All right, listen. Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for this week. We do appreciate you guys listening to our show. Comic Culture is produced by Mr. Shecky Feldstein here to my left and engineered by Andrew Roebuck to my right. For comments and suggestions, please visit www.comicbookdaily.com and click on the podcast link. Scroll to the comments field and add your comments. You can also hear us on comicbookdaily.com and Get the Point Radio. And remember
to go out and support your local comic book stores.
And have yourself a great day.